Hello and welcome to a new episode of our podcast Beyond Core, the podcast for business leaders who dare to think beyond today's success and build a future. In every episode, we explore entrepreneurial strategies for unlocking new growth beyond your core business, from platforms, digital ecosystems, AI-driven ventures, and circular business models. We dive deep with industry pioneers who are shaping what's next. And today we are looking at corporate venture building at Metro and how the Dish platform became the center of the core business. Metro, as you maybe have known is the leading international wholesale company specialized in food and non-food products for hotels, restaurants, and catering businesses. And they launched Dish, a digital platform, which provides services to manage reservations, build websites, grow online presence for hospitality businesses around 7-8 years ago as part of their digital strategy. And today we have our special guest, which is Volker Gläser. He's the CEO of Dish, and he will answer our question and give us more insights, how Dish was launched, how Dish will continue to shape the business of Metro, and what is the future with Dish and Metro looking into the AI future? So welcome, Volker, and also welcome, Natalie, my favorite co-host here in our podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Nice to have you, Volker, and obviously nice to be here again, Matthias.
Oh, yes. And we have a very good guest. So, Volker, maybe you can give a short intro about yourself, what you are doing. Also, maybe a short intro about Dish and Metro to our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. So happy to do that. So my name is Volker Gläser. I'm the CEO of Dish Digital Solutions. We're a Metro company, and Dish is here to serve the HoReCa industry. So hotels, restaurants, catering companies. We've been doing so since 2015, so a long time already. And Dish was set up with the intention to expedite digitalization of Metro on the end of our customers. So the idea was to optimize processes on the end of our customers, help our customers be more efficient, help them run the business better, to create impacts then on the Metro core business. And we will talk about this later, how this happens, how this really works. And Dish is a pretty agile company. You could indeed dub it, let's say, a corporate venture. It was set up initially as kind of a toolbox, if you will, a sandbox for the Metro company to understand how digitalization could help Metro become a more future-oriented company. And yeah, we really started like a startup, and I think we still are, even if today we are considered part of the core business.
And can you also a bit of give us a bit of background where you are from and what have you gone through so far in your career to become the CEO of Dish?
Yeah, so my background is very much into e-commerce, actually since more than 25 years. I led digital transformation initiatives in telco companies, media companies. Was a partner of a consultancy company in the TMT, technology, media, telco sector. And yeah, I got engaged with Metro back in 2017 already, when the idea was already on the table to digitize Metro. And when we were looking into this idea of taking the Metro customers by the hand and, you know, helping them to become more digital. Yeah, and then back in 2019, I was asked to take this on and to create a digital company for Metro, which was meant to have an impact on the, you know, back then, core business of food. So how to do that was the question. We started in Dish, back then called Hospitality Digital, started as, you know, a real startup company. And the first products we launched for free with the intention to create an audience of customers, a customer base first. And then the idea back then already was, okay, at some point, once the products are good enough, we should try to monetize those products, which we started only in 2021, when we already had more than 200,000 customers. That was the base we started off. Today, we are very close to 365,000 customers, restaurants connected to the platform. So Dish today is the largest digital ecosystem for the HoReCa industry, at least in Europe. We always say globally, in the world, because nobody is available like we are in 16 different countries. This is where we are with Dish today.
So would you say, so the first entry point was, if I understand correctly, was to support your customers in their digital transformation?
Yeah, absolutely. So that was the idea back in 2015. And so look, when we do digitalization, let's think about our customers first. How could Metro help customers become more digital, to optimize their processes, to create a better, more digital relationship with Metro, which, because it would be digital, would have massive, hopefully massive impacts on the way Metro is running the business. And the idea was, if our customers are successful, then Metro will be successful. That was the initial idea, which we have actually pursued ever since.
It's a very interesting this point, because generally companies drive their own digital transformation. It's interesting to, if I understand correctly what you're saying, to think that you considered back then that if your market wasn't or your customers weren't transforming at the same time as you, you probably wouldn't be successful or not as successful transforming yourself digitally, right?
Yeah, and I think we made two decisions back then, which were, number one, okay, we need to understand what digitalization means for our customers. Let's listen to our customers. Once we understand what they really need, what really helps them, once we understand that, this will help our business, because we could adjust to our customer needs much better in a more digital world. So I think that was clearly point number one. And number two was for Metro to say, look, digitalization is a big topic. Artificial intelligence already back then, big topic. We need to learn first. And the key decision then was to say, okay, let's learn what's important here. When we are talking digitalization, let's learn together with our customers. And we took this, I would say, brutal decision to say, you know, we are really in this industry, we are a customer focused 100%. We set up to 200 test restaurants across Europe. So meaning we were working very closely with 200 restaurateurs. We across our footprint, we listened to their needs, which sometimes were and still are pretty country specific. If you think about fiscalization topics, when it gets more complex, when you're delivering POS systems. So we really listened, and everything we have been building, we have built on our own. So that was a big decision, which implied already in 2015 that, okay, this would be a pretty long way, probably a bumpy road also, because we had to learn a lot. We're still learning a lot today. One thing back then was clear, this will be costly. The idea was hopefully we will create something which in the end has impact on the bottom line of Metro, which today it has, and I think we'll talk about that later.
And did you already have in mind at that time, at the very beginning, some data strategy? Or because we're talking about monetization, You're talking about monetization, or hoping there would be monetization, but probably there was also the data play in the ROI, and that was
I think that's it. For us, it was clear from the first minute we were thinking about digital applications for our customers that actually this entire business is about data. Maybe back then it wasn't clear to everybody, but I think everybody learned that pretty fast. If you think about just an example, if you think about food waste prevention, if you really want to help our customers succeed in that area, then you pretty swiftly come to the point, okay, this is about data. You need to know what they need, when they need it, how much they need, and so on. You need to understand seasonality in a restaurant or in a hotel or a catering company. And hence, actually, from day one, we created a pretty strong data foundation. That was costly. That took us a long time to make sure that we really create excellent data. This topic around data, garbage in, garbage out, it was clear to us. We had to find a way to create data based on the applications that we had built. We had to make sure the data is good. And we wanted to set it up from day one in a way that we could use it for different applications, for different evolutions, actually, of the ecosystem that we have created. And if you think about, a artificial intelligence world, when we are talking about agentic ways of working, the foundation to this is data. And we've been doing this since 2015. I think we have created one of the largest data environments for the HoReCa industry in Europe, which is helping us today, which is helping us, which is helping Metro, which is helping our customers in the first place, big time. We are helping them to understand their business much better. So we have integrated data applications, business intelligence applications into our POS system, for example. So as a restaurant owner, you can see how your business is doing. You are learning, you are understanding seasonality and so on. Data is part of the DNA of Dish. Very, very clear.
So for me, it also sounds that you and your leadership team, you are very mature in this whole digital thinking, understanding the value of data, and also that it takes a while. And when we talk to other companies, they often ask us, I know that it's important with the data and it takes a long time. How do I convince my leadership team? They are very often only focusing for the next 2 years or 3 years, but it maybe takes 5 years or 7 years or whatever. And you also mentioned it, you need a long breeze for that to follow the journey and to really benefit from all this stuff. So it takes a while. So how do you, at the end or at the other, and formulating it a bit different, what was important for you and your leadership team to take this long shot to understand, okay, yes, this takes a while, and what was so important for you?
So that's a very good question. Couple of answers actually on this one. From day one, we said, look, data will be it, but the notion 10 years back already was, this is probably very costly, unclear if the data we get will really help us improve our business. So we tried very early in this data game, we tried to find a way to convince Metro that gathering data, refining data will pay out. And we said, okay, we can only do that if we establish cohorts of customers over a long period of time across the entire footprint. And we need to understand how our customers are potentially changing their behavior. So we need data for that. So all the applications we've built have been built in a way that we can understand customer behavior better. If you take the POS system, for example, so we do know what customers purchase as Metro. We do know what's happening in their restaurants. We have learned the seasonality in restaurants, so that now 10 years later, we have cohorts of customers that are so strong in terms of the quality of their data that we can say today there is a clearly measurable impact. We do know that customers using Dish Metro customers using Dish applications on average create 10% more value in the core business of food than Metro customers not using Dish applications. So today we are proud we have this number because we can say everything we are doing, if we do it right, in the end has an impact on the bottom line of Metro. I have to say we have had lots of support from the Metro board for this approach. Then CEO Olaf Koch started it, and today CEO Steffen Greubel and his management team are accelerating this. There has been a strong belief that data in the end will help us create a better Metro. And I have to say, we are very thankful that we've been able to do this over a very long period of time. What we did down the road is, yeah, we delivered the data. And as soon as we were convinced there are cohorts of customers where we see an impact, where we see a change in behavior, where we see more loyalty. We actually say today, Dish is a loyalty engine to Metro today. We discussed the data with the country management teams. We discussed the data with the Metro board. It wasn't always easy. And sometimes we were challenged on the quality of the data, on the quality of the cohorts. Honestly, I have to say, we simply went on and we were allowed to go on, gather the data, try to provide even stronger proof that what we are doing has an impact on the core business. I would say, not a usual situation to receive so much support. I think, and that might be a recommendation for everybody who's trying to use data within a corporate environment to create an impact. Make it clear to everybody, it's probably a bumpy road. It's probably a lengthy thing. It takes time to provide strong data that really put you in a position to say, okay, yeah, this here is the impact. I believe you guys. I see it. We see it in the customer data. And we are actually very proud that 99.9%, I would say, of our customers are happy for us to collect the data, which we are using to optimize the Metro business. But we are sharing the data with our customers. So we are telling them, look, this is how your business is doing. Here's the seasonality in your business. This is how you can try to manage food waste better. So there is a give and take, if you will. We take the data and we give back. We give back to the Metro organization. We help our sales teams to perform better. This is a complex thing that we have created. And again, we needed and we have been provided the support from the top down, from the Metro board all the time. So now I think that's probably a prerequisite if you want to copy something like this in other corporate environments.
Yeah, so what you describe is also kind of the Amazon Prime effect. So what is Prime? Prime is the loyalty program and the Prime subscribers, or they have also a much higher bill on Amazon at the end. So they are also purchasing more on Amazon versus a non-Prime user. So there are those benefits. And as you said, it needs to be a mutual benefit also for the restaurants and the caterers, etc. So it's not just only for you. Let's double click more on the venture building side. Fish is an own legal entity versus Metro. What was the decision? So maybe you can take us into this this topic a bit more, because as you said, it could be very clear for the top management. Yes, let's go. Let's invest into Dish and let's build a platform. Let's create an own business unit or an own department for that. But no, you created an own legal entity for that. What was the reason for that? And is it also related to your startup feeling, your startup spirit you wanted to create? So what was the thinking behind the own legal entity of Dish?
Yeah, certainly it's the startup feeling that the company wanted to create actually from the beginning. But much more important actually is or was the understanding that a corporate venture like this one needs to work based on its own processes. Needs to be able to move probably much faster when it comes to application development compared to a large corporate organization. Not saying the one is good and the other is bad, but it was a clear understanding that a company or that a topic like digitizing or digitalizing customers would have to move at enormous pace. And that probably different processes, different styles of working, specifically in software development, like agile software development, like innovation, had to happen a different way. And then the intention was to say, okay, if you really mean it, let's create something new. Let's create an entity where everybody understands this is a new venture. This is we are starting this from a blank page. Let's give that team a company they are accountable for. And I think this was the foundation to create also then to use a separate brand like we do with Dish. And try to use this brand to, in the end, have an impact on Metro. We're saying Dish by Metro. I think the idea actually from day one was, yeah, let's create something new from a blank page. Let's attract talent here. And the idea was to attract people into a startup-like environment. This is what Dish was and still is. And then specifically the speed idea was around. So this entity needs to move faster. We want it to move faster. And potentially, if they do things Metro can learn from, then be it. Great. Let's see if we can use something Dish is doing in separation, in the dark, because they need to move fast. The intention from day one was, okay, we want to be competitive here in the digital world. And then the intention was, okay, let's create something separate. Let's create a separate entity and let's make sure this entity in the end will be successful. Everybody knew, okay, we need to nurture this. It needs to be funded. They need to be able to move fast, give them their own processes, the processes they need, which are different from the core food wholesale business of Metro. All we were asked to do is, we were asked to make sure that at some point we'd be ready to become part of the core business, which today we are. For that, we'd have to create something which has an impact on the core business of food. And I can give you an example how this actually works today. If we sell digital tools to Metro customers, so restaurant owners, then usually we sell Dish Starter, which is a website. It still is, you know, from the early days, the website toolkit that we created. And we give a customer a digital menu card. So that they are available on the web, can be found on the web. And we crawl the data of this menu card. And then this gives us insight into the ingredients a restaurant owner needs to deliver that menu card, the number of dishes on that menu card. And then we compare that with a restaurant owner's purchase history at Metro. And then we get a delta, right? So we do know what this customer is already buying from Metro and what he or she hasn't ever bought from Metro, purchases Metro. So next step then is to provide the data to the core organization of Metro and the sales organization of Metro and say, look, here's an indication that a customer could buy more from Metro. That's what this is about. We are a wholesaler, right? And then next time we are sending out a digital promotion or a salesperson to that very customer, the offer will be on the delta, right? So on the products he or she hasn't ever or yet bought from Metro. I think that has been, as I'm saying, has been because it still is, the most complicated thing for us to make sure that we as who we started as a separate entity, make sure that the things come together. That was the key point for us to say, even if we are a separate entity, we are a Metro company. We need to make sure that we are working closely with our colleagues in the countries and that in the end, we can say, look, all the money, Metro, you have invested into Dish was money well spent, because at some point there will be the impact on the core business. And we are showing it today. So to a long answer to a crisp question.
Another aspect is the cultural point. So you said at the beginning, digital strategy, but maybe we are not ready at the core. That's why we created Dish. And then Dish was responsible to drive the whole strategy forward, show the benefits, work together with the customers, the data thing, etc. And now it's going back to the core, became the new core, or it enhances the core. So how is also maybe this influencing the culture within Metro? As the old core. So is the new core coming back to the core and also influencing the culture? And you see benefits of maybe this kind of startup spirit, the startup thinking, data thinking, also now influencing the old core of Metro. So kind of.
Yeah, absolutely. So a very, very good question, Matthias. So I think what we are seeing today is actually this year, we already had two people who came to me and said, look, Volker, I want to understand the wholesale food business better. And I see my career path within Metro. And I thought, fantastic. That's great. So that a digital person now sees that the two worlds, if you will, are working very closely together, are becoming one. And that now people are, you know, actually walking over the street to Metro to work there and to come with their experience and try to help people in the core business of food understand what we are doing and improve together what Metro is doing. So Dish is unique in terms of the number of nationalities working here. We have 37 nationalities working for Dish. So great talent from all over the world, digital nomads, digital specialists who really want to help transform the wholesale food business. We are speaking, I think, 18 languages here. This makes Dish a very diverse, a completely unique company within the Metro world. And you're seeing it now, again, as I said, so people are willing to understand the Metro wholesale food business better and the other way around. And now people are knocking on our door saying, okay, I'm working in Metro here and there. I've heard great things about what you're doing and I would like to join Dish. So we are happy if that happens. And I think this is starting now. that we are seeing from a cultural perspective, from an individual perspective, that the worlds are coming closer together more and more. Metro and the so Dish in the beginning, or Hospitality Digital back then, was a completely culturally, from a cultural perspective, completely different animal, right? So really young people, digital people, without, by the way, without real experience in the wholesale business. So they were digital specialists, which Metro needed. And it was quite some work to make sure that we were working together, found a way of working together, non-digital and digital people. You know all those stories, and they were true for us as well. Channel conflicts, what are these guys doing? They are touching, in inverted commas, my customers. How is that possible? Are they destroying the customer relationship? It may be that that's still going on, but it has completely changed the way we are thinking about digital in Metro. And it's still a way. It's still a long way, probably, to make sure that across the countries, we have this kind of mingling of cultures, of individuals, of digital and non-digital. But it is happening as we speak, which is great.
So you talked extensively about the importance of data and how solid your data base, I can say, or the base of your data is. And you mentioned very briefly in passing at the beginning the word agent. So you see where I'm going. From data to your digital platform to then artificial intelligence. Yeah. How do you enhance or plan to enhance your current Dish solution with AI and AI agents?
A big question. In general, before I go into the detail, I think we are learning as we go. On how to make best use of AI. And there are actually two areas. One, we are trying to use and exploit AI to optimize our processes, internal processes, say in customer operations, for example. We are trying to use AI technology to improve the customer front end. So if customers are calling into call centers today, usually we would connect them with a human agent there. Going forward, we are testing it already for a specific number of customers, let's say for first level support. We can imagine we are testing it and the feedback is actually good, but from our perspective, not good enough yet. We're testing that. So why wouldn't a customer talk to a virtual environment? Let me call it like this: an agent, a bot, whatever. Be it via voice, be it via applications like messaging services, and so on. This will come, and I think that's an evolution. We are learning a lot. We are listening again, as we did in the beginning, to our customers. Do they like the experience? Yes or no? Any application we are launching has a Net Promoter Score component in it. So we are looking at customer feedback every day. We are talking to our customers. We still have a number of former test restaurant customers across the countries where we have a good relationship, where we talk to those customers. I think that's what we are really doing very extensively. So we are talking to our customers. We try to be close to our customers. And we're using the feedback to optimize our internal processes. And then actually to the next level. So we are trying to use the customer feedback to build AI into our products. And just 2 weeks back, we had a workshop on exactly that. We said, okay, what is it? We talk to customers. And one big restaurant owner from Berlin, he said, look, honestly, my major problem is people. I don't have the people I need. They're not available anymore on the market. So this business is moving so fast. Is there a way, and I do not want to use applications if it's not necessary, an app here and a smartphone application there, and I don't know. Is there a, can you do me a favor and create a POS system, so a cashier, that I can talk to? Simply talk to and say, hey, POS system, tell me, yesterday, how was the business doing? What did we sell? What not? Was the day green, so profitable, or red, and why? Tell me about food waste. What is it I have to do? Well, next weekend, tell me, the weather seems to be great. What do I have to order more of this and that? And here we thought, okay, that might be a pretty good idea. We need to make sure it's working. We need to make sure it's stable and so on. Here we are thinking about that. So, but it's in the end, it's always around the same, the initial idea that we had. How can we help the industry work better, more efficiently? How can we help restaurant owners to run their shop, to run their restaurant better? How can we help them run their business better? And this is where we try to use AI, and this is where we are doing lots of thinking right now. We don't have the answer yet. We are experimenting a lot. And I think shortly we will start with this. So we will build AI into our POS system and see what happens if a restaurant owner talks to the POS system. And I think that's part of the history of Dish. We are allowed to, and we dare to learn. Actually, every day. At the same time, we try to deliver data on that. We do know it's costly, but at the same time, we try to show that the investment may pay out because the database that we have created allows us to see the impact, allows us to see how this loyalty engine is evolving. We couldn't do without data. We need the data. And thinking about artificial intelligence, thinking about an agentic world, that's the foundation, that's the fuel. And we are trying to make sure every day that the data is good, that when we refine the data, that the output helps us improve the core business of Metro. We have a relatively big data team, more than 25 people here. Who have been working on this since 10 years back. It's a pretty stable team in terms of people turnover, and I think this is helping us today a lot and will help us in the future because that's the foundation of everything we're using the data for.
Yeah, the future is also a very good topic. Maybe looking into the future of the whole HoReCa business and also the role of AI. Do you see that maybe a bit of provocative question that only HoReCas who are build their business on AI services, on AI tools or whatever will be successful in the future? Or how do you see the role of AI in the HoReCa business in the future? Is it a game changer and a must have for the HoReCas, or is it like it's still unclear to see?
So, that's hard to say, I would say. I mean, this industry is very unique also because, I mean, if you think about your favorite restaurant, where you would bring your family to celebrate your birthday, whatever, right? So, what good restaurateurs are great at is creating a wonderful atmosphere. You like to be there. It's more than just what you find on the menu card. It's more about the dish they are serving. They are creating an environment, an experience, a moment, or a number of great moments over time. So I think let's call it the human component in here. So I think this is will always be there. So from my perspective, and this makes a good restaurant probably a great restaurant. If this human component is fantastic, everything you like there is great. So I think this comes on top of, let's say the mechanics, how to run the engine. And here I think, yeah, if you want to be successful in the future in this industry, and this may differ from country to country. So food in France is a completely different topic. People spend much more for food and for restaurant experiences, like in Germany, for example, where everything has to be efficient and so on. Yeah. So I would say, if you want to be a successful restaurant owner in the future, you need to make sure that you manage your costs wisely. And here, digital tools and data and AI will help a lot, because energy prices are going through, energy costs are going through the roof. You don't have the people anymore you need, because they're working in other industries. And Corona actually showed that very clearly, that this industry needs to find ways to become more efficient. You need to more and more understand, okay, if you want to be successful, if you want to survive in this industry, you need to run your business like a company. You need to have an eye on like food waste. You can save lots of money if you use technology, if you use AI, if you use data to prevent food waste. 30% or more of the food you need in a restaurant to deliver your menu card actually is food waste in the end, at the end of the day. So that is something on average, that is something you can prevent from happening if you have the right tools. Here we can help. So I think this will remain a very, very important component. And then you have, yeah, actually, the robotic component, right? You see it on trade fairs where you can use today robots in kitchens, right? So as helping hands, as the human helping hands are not available anymore, right? So so you can potentially scale much better using robots for specific work within a kitchen or within the guest room to serve things than without. So, and that is something that I do see coming, and you can see it in certain countries. If you go to Asia, Japan, China, you see the use of technology, the use of robots is coming. It's there. Will it come to Europe very fast? I wouldn't say not very fast, but it will come, because as a restaurant owner, you are under enormous pressure to make sure your business is successful and profitable in the end.
So I'm smiling a bit. So it sounds a bit like our podcast, right? So it's a French-German connection, and you say it's the same as for restaurants in the future. So maybe in the background, there's this German robots and efficiency working, but in the customer facing in the restaurant itself, maybe there's this French charm, this French hospitality and the cuisine and creating the experience. And this together forms a successful restaurant. Thank you very much, Volker, for giving us a lot of insights about Dish and Metro and the digital transformation. And let's wrap up this this session today, this episode. And we are asking you some small questions, and maybe you can give a very short answer to that.
Okay.
What could be one key lesson, or maybe which is maybe what the one major key lesson for you from building Dish?
It's all about people, full stop. It's all about people through the entire Metro organization. And it starts at the top. The Metro board has been super successful over the years. So the right people there, the right people on the Dish team. Yeah, it's all about people. This is how I would see it.
So digital transformation, but it's all about people. And also for our listeners and viewers here, is one surprising insight about the hospitality industry nobody has or not really knows about?
That I can say, but what impresses me all the time is how creative the actors of this industry are. And it starts with the topic we talked about, how to create an environment, an experience, a moment And it's great to see how people do that. And you see all the different cuisine trends coming and how people try to create something great for their guests. Unique, I would say, compared to other industries. The actors are super creative. And if you think about it, if you enter a restaurant next time, open your eyes and try to look for that creativity. You'll find it if it's a good restaurant. And that's great about this industry.
I like very much all your the energy that you are giving to this podcast. I think it's great because you sounds like you've been a pioneer on launching a digital platform in a venture building mode, going from beyond core to inside core, working on an ecosystemic thinking because you were thinking about your customers as much as you in terms of digital transformation, thinking about data, thinking about AI. And yet, the most important thing is human. The most important thing is creativity. The most important thing is experience. So I love that very much, as Matthias knows. I'm the French side of the coin. So, I think it's fantastic. A lot of people worry about AI and will it completely displace humans? You're giving a perfect example on how it can really work hand in hand and support the human side by discharging the maybe more automated elements of the work. So
Yeah, Natalie, I
thank you
think
very much.
support is the right word here to describe that. And I think for this industry, that's very true. I mean, we're hearing it here and there. AI will more be the supporter. And I think here we can witness or will be witnessing how what that means. I would agree, absolutely.
Perfect. I think this is a very good conclusion of our podcast. Again, thank you very much, Volker, for giving so many insights and
Pleasure. Thank
this
you.
great outlook of the industry and venture building. For all our viewers and listeners, if they want to learn more, they can go on the website on Metro, also Dish, and they can also connect with you on LinkedIn. We will put all the links into the show notes here so they can click on it and follow you and maybe reach out to you. Again, thank you very much for joining
Thank
and
you.
looking forward to meet again somewhere in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
In a restaurant somewhere.
In a restaurant, exactly. Let's meet in a
Thank
French restaurant. Huh? So,
you.
thank you.